homeless veterans in northern Colorado who qualify can connect themselves with furnished shelter, food, and an assistance program to help them leave homelessness behind. It is the Veterans Community Project, centered in Longmont, Colorado. Greetings again. I'm Adam Morgan. The project makes effective and efficient use of 26 tiny homes utilizing trauma-informed design for any vets experiencing PTSD. Some homes are also for families. Teaming with this is a cadre of over 60 community partnerships to make the outreach project work. In addition to Longmont, the VCP also has developments in Kansas City, St. Louis, Milwaukee, and Sioux Falls. In Longmont, the executive director with us again is Ms. Jennifer Sabold.
You know, we want veterans to connect with their neighbors, and so it's a tight-knit community. We have that community space where they can come in and do stuff there together as a community as well. But also, we want them to have a quiet place that when they need to just disconnect from people and be on their own and be in that healing space, that they can shut the door and be in that place too.
Do you have a manager or something on site as well in case a veteran has a PTSD issue or something in the tiny home that they're in?
So we don't have people on site 24/7. So we have a director of veteran services, and she is officed out of the community there. She is an Army veteran. So we have a mix of people on our team, both veterans and those who just have a connection for some other reason. She oversees all of the case management team. So their first reach out is always going to be to their assigned case manager, and we have a really low case management ratio. We always, on the residential side, keep it no more than 8 individuals per case manager because we want them to be able to have that deep impact and not be overloaded by their caseloads. So their first line of contact is always a case manager.
Yeah.
If there's a larger emergency, it will be pushed to our veteran services director. And, you know, we know things come up when we're not on site. So there is a call plan in place for that. We also partner really closely with our community fire, police, and emergency services in order to be able to provide immediate help should there be anything like that. Longmont has a core team with their police that is really, their function is to partner with mental health professions and bring them out alongside police if there is some kind of emergency like that.
If I read it correctly, you also have 5 or 10 homes for families. Is that right?
We do, yeah. So we have 26 total homes. We're not done building, so we're still in the building phase. But when we're all complete, we will have 21 that are for individual veterans, and then we will have 5 that are designed for families, you know, of all sizes. So they can actually sleep up to 7 creatively. We furnish those dependent on the family's needs. So sometimes it's a parent and one child.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a family of 5. We really try to look at what's the need of this family.
In building the community, you got either good positive partnership with the neighbors around the land where the community is, or you heard from them saying, not in our neighborhood. What did you get there?
We have been fully embraced by the community. We are so excited about this project. We're part of a new development build, and I know I touched on it briefly, but Kevin Mulshine donated our land as HMS Development donated that land. It is part of a much larger development that is being built. So it's a development that will include 450 homes ranging in value from $300 all the way up to close to $1 million. They have started building the larger homes. We built our project first, and he actually donated some land as well to Habitat for Humanity, who are our neighbors on the west side. But then the homes have started being built, and we actually are working with the home buyers and everything. People are incredibly excited to see this in their neighborhood. We are even providing brochures to potential home buyers who ask about it. We've connected with them for tours. So it has been very warm and welcoming. And truthfully, VCP doesn't ever want to build somewhere where that's not the case. And that's a part of that filtering system for where's the right location for VCP sites. Yeah, there has not been any of that. People really want to see it there. They're excited to see it there. I think there's question about that, especially, I mean, Kevin will be honest and say, as a developer, I was hesitant, right? I need to sell homes. Is this going to be a problem? But he has been very outspoken about the fact that it's been a real positive. He sees it as an amenity to the community. The really cool thing that, you know, Kansas City's been there since 2016, they have actually seen home values go up. They've seen the neighborhood be more revitalized, more engaged. So I think it's had nothing but positive things there when people ask those questions. But, you know, Kevin, one of the things he hopes that other developers look at as a potential option, it met his need for requirement of affordable housing in a really unique way that has long-term impact for hundreds to thousands of people.
Sure.
And people are really excited and happy to have it part of their neighborhood. So that's one of the things that I love most about being in this community.
You all have done a really good job of thinking through how communities respond, because many times when you're thinking about homeless people and putting them there, it's in an existing community and everybody throws their hands up. But when it's in a new one and the people buying the bigger houses and newer houses coming in and they see it, then they have a chance to accept it or not. And I think that probably makes it a very positive a model to use.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not the case for every city. And some of our other cities we're building in places that are a bit more established. But BCP, yeah, I think, does, and our national expansion team specifically, does a really good job of making sure that before we do anything, before we say, yes, we're coming into this, we really talk to the community and hear from them about, you know, how do you feel about this? What kinds of community problems can we help with? How do we make sure that people are excited about it? Because yeah, it really doesn't work if they're not.
Now, your assistance center is not with the community. The outreach center is not there. That's in another part of Longmont. A mobile van as well, because of maybe the rural nature of the county?
Yeah. So the outreach center is not on the village. You're absolutely right. Case management services for the village are just for those living there. And we really don't want people walking into the village. In fact, you know, we don't want people as a whole walking into the village. We do let people know we want to show you around the community, but please don't just wander around. You wouldn't feel great about people wandering in and looking at you in your window. So let's not do that to our veterans. So the outreach center is separate. It is on Main Street and on a major bus line, so a little bit more in our downtown area. That's for walk-in services. And really, again, everything kind of starts there, and then case managers will direct people to the specific needs that they have. And then the mobile outreach is one of the things that is unique to Colorado. We do try to adapt to what are the needs of our community. Kansas City has a pretty good bus line. You know, there's maybe a little bit more metro kind of feel to it. Like, as you said, yeah, Longmont is not exactly downtown Denver. We're in a city, and we do have a bus system. And actually, Longmont's bus system is free of charge, and it's pretty good. But it's not always the most easy and convenient to navigate, especially if you're having to travel from here to other areas in the northern Colorado region. And then more than that, Colorado as a whole, I know, you know, you think about Denver and it's such a big city, but most of our state is not. About 75% of it is still very small communities, very yeah, rural areas. So that was the intent with the outreach van. We really actually worked with a local senator, Carrie Donovan, in formulating a way to connect with veterans that are disconnected from services who may not know.
Yeah.
And that was the idea behind it. So she really helped us to design that. It's being grant funded for 2 years by the state of Colorado. We're coming up on kind of the end of that next year. But, you know, we've learned a lot about it. We've been able to connect with other veterans. And since we officially launched the actual mobile outreach last August.
Yeah.
I believe we've been able to reach an additional 60 veterans across some of those more removed spaces.
Do you have any special outreaches for older senior veterans?
We don't necessarily have specific outreach. We do the same kind of work. We see a lot of older veterans. In fact, last year, you know, more than 50% of those we served were 55 and older.
Right.
So we try to utilize additional resources that are available in our community, and transportation is one of those that actually we can tap into some special help for with other nonprofits we work with. Again, all of our services are really individualized, so we do try to look at where is this person in life, and a lot of those older adults, you know, that we're probably not going to be looking at like education and training if they're older and their health isn't as great. And so how do we stabilize their income? How do we stabilize their health? Those kinds of things. So we just take a really individualized approach, but we do see a lot of older veterans.
The VA announced a housing project or something similar for Los Angeles last week. We got a $3 billion VA hospital down in Aurora, Colorado. Have they been up to see you to see what things they could either glean or how they can partner with you to make your outreach successful?
Yes, both Aurora and Cheyenne. So we are smack dab in the middle of both of them.
Yeah, you would be.
So our veterans are either coming from one or the other and utilizing services at one or the other if they are connected to VA services. Not all of our veterans are, but we do partner really closely with them. They're aware of our services. They send people to us, and we in turn work closely with them to try to make sure that we can help people navigate what VA benefits are they eligible for if they're not tapping into them. We also recently, as a whole, took on a grant that is being administered by the VA. This is actually the first federal funding that we have accepted, just because we're very selective in our funding, because we don't want to be limited, right? So we want to be able to say yes to every veteran. And sometimes those state and federal funds can limit who you can serve. So this is a suicide prevention grant specifically. It's a FOX grant that's being administered through the VA. So we do a lot of suicide screening. All of our veterans are screened for risk, and we tap into those resources. So we're working with them very regularly. We're actually able to search someone's veteran status and utilize a VA system that we are connected with. They're a close partner of ours, and they know we're here to fill the gaps for them.
Two final things real quick, and that is, I think you mentioned you've had a couple of veterans who transitioned out of the village.
We actually have not had anyone in Longmont transition out. So we just started housing. We started going vertical on the build last June, and then we started housing our very first veterans in the village September 5th. So we have four veterans living in the village now, and they're, you know, already doing fantastic things. Three of them are employed, two of them are in school, but they've been with us a pretty short time at this point.
Okay. And the final one, how can the public get involved? Volunteers, contributions, how can they help you be successful?
Yeah, I mean, so really all of those things, volunteer opportunities, we always need help with various things. If you go to our website and you click volunteer and look for Longmont opportunities, you can do anything from helping us host a table to just let people know what we're doing, all the way to actually building at the site. That's slowing down a little bit right now for the winter, but we'll pick back up in the spring pretty heavy to complete the remainder of our homes. 70% of the work on the homes is actually done by volunteers without any construction build experience. It's very similar to how Habitat builds their homes. We have a project manager and a construction operations person that sort of help lead that, along with a handful of incredible volunteers that have that experience. Anything in between, there's food pantry, stocking, inventory, all kinds of that. Volunteer support is incredibly needed and always going to be something that we rely on to be able to do our work. Cash donations, I mentioned our budget, the case management, the supportive services, all of that is why we're able to have the kind of impact we are. And our annual operating budget is $1.5 million. So we do rely very heavily on individuals and their generosity, just because, we also limit some of the places we take money because we want to be able to serve everybody. So donations are always helpful. We have an event coming up actually for Colorado Gives Day, which is December 5th. And I think people in Colorado are pretty well aware of what that is. It's Colorado's biggest day of giving. We are a part of that. We have a goal to raise $10,000 for that day, and we're doing it in conjunction with our very first holiday lighting celebration at the village.
Ah.
Yeah, so it's pretty exciting. We're actually handing out, we're going to light up all the homes that are occupied, and our community center will do a countdown for lighting, but we're also handing out handheld lights for anybody that does a $25 gift, and we're hoping to have 400 of them lit up alongside all of our, a really fun opportunity. If people are in the Northern Colorado region and want to come to that, that's one of those things we're really excited about, but any donation support throughout the year is incredibly helpful. And then the other thing is just helping to spread the word about what we do. You know, a lot of people hear about VCP from word of mouth. And so the more things like this, Adam, the more opportunities we have to get our word out there, the better it is as a whole for our community.
Ms. Jennifer Sabold, Executive Director of the Veterans Community Project in Longmont. Many thanks to her again for her participation with this edition. Should you be assisting a Northern Colorado homeless veteran or aware of someone who may need the support or assistance of the Veterans Community Project, check out information online at vcp.org. Look for the Longmont button or call 720-340-2926. That's 720-340-2926. I'm Adam Morgan. Do keep in touch, and many thanks to you as well for sharing a few moments of your weekend with us.